Good morning. Normally at this time I tell you to open your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, but we're doing things a little bit differently today. As Marcus has told you the past couple of weeks, there's the Power for Life team that is beginning their crusade tonight at First Baptist Arcadia, and we have a special guest with us who's going to speak for a little bit this morning. There are two other Power Team guys speaking in sister churches as well. We've got one at First Baptist Arcadia and one at Mount Ephraim. And it's kind of an associational-wide crusade where everybody's coming together to see Arcadia turned upside down, right? So we're going to do things a little bit differently, but still everything JR is going to talk about is a part of how we at Calvary are trying to turn things upside down. A part of our missions commitment this year is we're giving some resources to support this crusade. We've asked for some manual labor today at 1:30, and if you can help do the setup, please come talk to me after the service. If you're interested, you saw my Facebook message go out this week, an email about at 4 o'clock. They're having some counselor training. Every night after the crusade is over, they're going to present the gospel. And hopefully, prayerfully, people are going to come forward, and they need people who can counsel. So if you're interested in being a part of that, there's training today at 4 o'clock. And then, as I mentioned last week, every day after the crusade, we're going to get a stack of names of people who came forward. They're taking the names and just dividing them up between the churches, and we're going to need help following up. So if you're interested in being a part of a follow-up team, please talk to me as well. Thank you for those who have already contacted me about that. But it's great to see the body of Christ coming together to promote the gospel. Amen. All right, so now I want to introduce to you our guest speaker. His name is J.R. Johnson, and he can tell you a lot more about himself than I can, but I did get to spend some time with him this morning, got to hear his testimony, got to hear how he loves the Lord and he's enjoying serving the Lord, so it's an honor to have you with us this morning. Just a couple of things about him. He's been a professional athlete. He's a professional fitness trainer. He's a professional bodybuilder, so I feel small. So, he was an Oklahoma State Athlete of the Year. He played for Tulsa University, ran track and field, played football. But the biggest description that I have of him is that he's a soul winner. He loves leading people to the Lord. So I'm going to invite J.R. Johnson to come up, and he's going to share what God's laid on his heart this morning. And then I'll be back in a little bit to close. So.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Well, good morning. God bless y'all. Yes, Pastor, I came in your office this morning, man. You are kind of jacked, though, man. I could be in the weight room a little bit, man, you know. And beautiful family. He 7 kids. I'm going to get started, but he has 7 vans and 7 kids. So 7 is God's completion number. So this man stops at 7, which is a good number to stop at, because on the 7th day he rested. So I'm sure you're at rest right now. So hopefully he's rested, because 7 kids, man, I couldn't, I have none. And I want to have children one day, of course, in God's timing, but 7, wow. But what the awesome thing about it is it's 7 kids who serve the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Awesome. Well, as he said, I'm J.R. Johnson, and I'm with the Power for Life team. And what's your name? Marcus. Marcus came up here and said, how many guys know the Power for Life? Y'all are like, I don't really know them. But we're those big, strong guys who break bricks, rip phone books, bend steel. You know, we do some crazy stuff. We run through 2x4s. We bend 3-inch steel. We blow up hot water bottles. And yes, it hurts. And you're thinking, why would these guys get all big and want to do stuff like that to their body? Well, it's really not about what we do to our bodies. It's about what we do with our bodies to bring souls to Christ. That's the purpose behind it. And how many of you guys ever seen, remember the Power Team way back in the day, John Jacobs and the Power Team? See, everyone knows John Jacobs and the Power Team. Well, we're a branch from that. And the Power Team started in the 1970s, when God gave John Jacobs a vision about getting big, strong guys to break bricks and do stuff to bring souls to Christ. And I'm honored just to be a part of that. I mean, little bit about myself. Before I go into about myself, we have done over 1,400 schools last year alone. We're the number one school assembly in the nation. We go to schools all over America, high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, even sometimes colleges, and we speak motivation, inspiration, encouraging the kids that they were created for a purpose and a vision, and that they are created to make a mark on this earth that can't be erased. You know, because a lot of kids these days are looking for identity, and they want to find identity somewhere else, which usually ends up to be in the wrong place. But we let them know that in God's identity, they're created for something great, created for a gift and a purpose, and have an anointing to do something great. And the funny thing is, you know, I grew up a skinny kid. I wasn't fast. I wasn't a good football player. I wasn't a great athlete at all. And I got picked on a lot. I was bullied a lot, you know. And it's amazing to see a door open for me now down the road that I'm on stage breaking stuff. I was like, I remember the first time I got put on stage with the power team, Jared was like, okay, here's your stack of bricks. You got to break 7. For the first time, I said, excuse me? See, 7. Why is it always 7? And I've never broke bricks. I mean, think about that, Rook. Break concrete. I mean, right now? It's like, yeah. I mean, it's not fake. There is no technique to do it. You have to be strong and just plow through it. So this was live. It was Jacksboro. I got on stage. Yeah, come on, get behind JR. Woo, yay. And then, I'm up there. My mouth is dry. I'm just kind of shaking. Because you can't get injured doing that stuff. And I hit it. Boom. And didn't break. Didn't go anywhere. So they took a brick off. Went down to 6. You know. Come on, get behind it. Dude. Take one off. Down to 5. Jared was like, who did I recruit? My God. You know. But so I broke the 5. And then after that, we went backstage. You know, we had a lot of souls come forward that night. And I realized that night, Jared said one thing to me. He said, you know what, JR, I know it's your first time on stage. Don't feel embarrassed, because we fail at feats all the time. It is not about the feats of strength. It is about souls coming to Christ. If one person comes forward, then the job was done. All of heaven rejoices when one soul gets saved. You know, so we are here in your city, Arcadia. I think we were here 2 years ago. I wasn't on the team yet, but and we are here to do this. We're doing 4 schools this week, 3 elementaries, 1 middle school in this area. And we're at First Baptist every night at 7 o'clock. And let me tell you something. It is going to be crazy. I mean, in there, we get loud. It's crazy. And we do crazy stuff. But the energy is going to be high. You're going to come in tonight and see just stacks of bricks stacked up it's going to be awesome. So we hope to see you guys there. But a little bit about myself. I was telling Pastor in his office, I grew up in Dallas, Texas. As I said, I grew up as a small kid, skinny kid, but I had a dream to become one of the fastest kids, first in the neighborhood, and one of the fastest kids in school. And I was picked on a lot because I was slow. You know, elementary school, I was slow. Went to middle school. And in 7th, 8th grade, I got cut from the track team and the basketball team, and the football team. I didn't make nothing. I was, you know. and it was funny because I said to myself, man, I just must really stink. I looked at my dad. I was like, thanks a lot. I got your genetics. I mean, you know. My dad was a great athlete in high school. But the thing about it was, and my parents were Christian parents. They taught me the standards of serving God and putting God first no matter what. And failures and defeats and mistakes and disappointments and success, you always put God first. And I felt like I was a failure in middle school. But after my dad told me that, when I went to high school, 1 year later, I just decided in my mind to say, you know what? I'm not going to do this for myself. I'm going to do it for God. Let's see what happens. So my freshman year, tried for the football team. You know, I got a little bigger that year, my freshman year. And I made the football team, and actually not only made the football team, But I started varsity as a freshman. I was the only freshman in high school history, that high school, to start varsity as a freshman. And I started varsity on the basketball team as a freshman. And then I was on the 4x1 relay team, and I was a freshman running with seniors. So God just took me from one level to another, like, overnight, because I made a decision to put him first. Because the Bible says when you honor him, he will honor you amongst men. And I was honored. He honored me. And through my high school career, I ended up, you know, just all the accolades I obtained, I ended up being an all-state basketball, all-state football, all-American. I made the all-star team 2 years in a row, my junior and senior year. I scored over 1,500 points in 2 seasons alone, my junior and senior season. I was highly recruited from probably any college you can name, you can think of. I was recruited by all the Florida schools, Florida State, Florida, USF, I mean, those schools. And I signed a full scholarship at the University of Tulsa in Oklahoma, played football and ran track. It was a Golden Hurricane. And then after that, had a great college career. Then I ended up being a professional athlete. I ran 5 years for the United States Olympic track team. And this is where the story gets interesting, because in high school, I obtained all these accolades. I had all these gains. I had all these crowns, as the song we just sang, Here in Your Presence. You know, but those gains, everything I gained, all the crowns I had on my head from all the accolades I received as an athlete, I didn't even let them go in God's presence. Because once I received all that, I started pushing God aside and saying, you know what, I'm going to run my own race, all about me. You know, my ego got big, my head got big, because I was being praised by the world. The world had my back. I was being embraced by the world because I was winning. I was being a success. I was winning in life. Then, so I said, well, yeah, God, you're there, but I mean, this is all about me. I'm doing it. I mean, I'm running the races. I'm putting the ball in the bucket. I'm scoring the touchdowns. You know, I'm making the money. So, and look at all the praise I'm getting. What do I need you for? That's a big mistake. Because you push, God will get your attention. Okay? No matter how far you think you're going, God will get your attention. Okay? But that's his love for you. So at that time, I'd gotten just way off track. I signed a huge contract with Reebok when I came out of college, a shoe endorsement. So then came the money, of course. Then came the house, and then came just all the worldly accolades. But see, when you're winning in the world, you think they have your back. But when you lose, they turn away from you immediately. But we serve a God who never leaves you nor forsakes you, no matter what is going on, no matter how far you astray. He's always there. He's always there. So I got to the point to where I was one race away from fulfilling my ultimate dream and running for the United States Olympic team in Athens, Greece in 2004. One race away. I came into the United States. I came in to that race, 7th fastest in the country, 20th fastest in the world. The planet, 20th. And that's like, you know, that's a great accolade, right? But going into that race, so I was one of the favorites to win that race. Got in the blocks. I remember I had all my endorsements. I had sponsors. I had the city of Dallas behind me. I had posters made of me, and they were in barbershops and grocery stores, and I had schools behind me. I was on Fox 4 News in Dallas with Mike Ducey. I had all the pump up, the hype, all that stuff, trading cards, all that. Got to the final race. I'm there, 80,000 plus standing at their feet, 400 meters. Gun sounds, psh, I'm off. Coming around the first curb, just blowing past everybody, jumping out in the lead. Down the backstretch, in the lead. Coming around the second curb, in the lead. I was 40 meters from fulfilling my dream. 40 meters from this stage to that black wall right there. 40, from here to there was the finish line. 40 meters. And all of a sudden, my hamstring blew in half. Boom. Just, yeah, it hurt bad. I'm still doing stuff that hurts. It's crazy. But my hamstring just popped. Boom. And I came up, and I watched every runner pass me at the line. I got dead last, fell to the track. Trainers had to come out, carry me off. Last place. No Olympics, no dream, no nothing going like that. When I crossed the line that night, when I crossed the finish line that night, I felt like my life was finished. Because when I crossed the line that night, I didn't win. The world said, bye-bye. Reebok endorsement gone. Sponsorships gone. All the support, the so-called friends I had when I was winning, gone. No phone calls, no nothing. Just from my parents. That's it. My career was done. That flight home was the worst flight of my life. I got home. I went to the deepest, darkest depression you could ever imagine because I felt like I had nothing left. If the world didn't have my back, then what do I have to live for? I had suicidal thoughts. I lost everything. I lost my house. I lost because the money ain't there. You can't keep a $250,000 house. It's gone. Everything was gone like that. But in that moment, this is where the power for life came. In that moment, there was still a knocking at my heart. He's just trying to come back in. He'll never leave you, nor he'll never forsake you. Knocking on the door of my heart. I stopped going to church. Everything my parents raised me in. But the Bible says, when you train up a child in the way they should go, they will never depart from it. And I had all the things my parents instilled into me about God and bringing me, I had it in me. I just closed the blinds on it. Because I decided with all I was doing, I decided that, you know what? This is my race. I was running the race for JR, not running the race for Jesus Christ. There's a difference. Doesn't matter how successful you get, all the accolades you get, all the money, it doesn't matter. If God is not a part of it, he's not first, it will fail. It will fail. But I had this knocking at my heart, and I was resisting because I was angry with God. But how could I be angry with God when I turn my back on him? Just knocking and knocking. That depression lasts for 4 years. I didn't go to church for 4 years after that. I didn't want to see anybody. I had to move in with my parents. They had to watch me because I was depressed. I really didn't want to live anymore. Because without track, without the money, without the world, without all that stuff, I feel like I had no purpose. But there was a new beginning about to happen in my life. And it happened one beautiful Sunday morning, just like this one. God, he loves to move on Sunday mornings. I was in bed upstairs at my parents' house, and my parents were going to church. My dad, I heard him marching upstairs, you know, coming to get me. I'm a grown man. I was still scared. You know. So, hey, when you know, when daddy get up, you know. So, he knocked on the door. I just ignored it. So he just blew the door open. Came in. I was like, yes? He said, sir. He said, get up. You're coming to church to me and your mother today. All this depression, all what Satan's trying to do to your life ends today. And that wasn't my dad talking. That was the Spirit of God talking. It was just fierce and bold and powerful. I'd never heard my dad. My dad, you know, he's yelled at me before growing up, but I've never heard him talk like that. It was just a powerful, with authority. Get up. You know, you're coming to church. So I said, yes, sir. I got up, got dressed. Went to church with my family. Hadn't been there in 4 years. The shame. The enemy tries to put shame on you and, you know, just make you feel just terrible, embarrassing, you know, of what had happened to me. It's 4 years later, but everybody forgot about that. I was the only one holding on to it. got to church, got in the back, sat in the back, way in the back, head down, doing worship, just don't want anybody to see me. After worship, my pastor came up, and the first thing he said, there was such a presence in the house. It was the presence of God. See, in the presence of God, it doesn't matter what you're facing. See, in worship, when you're wrapped in God's presence, miracles happen. You don't even know. Healing happens and restoration happens because God moves through his presence. And in his presence, every knee shall bow and every tongue, everything will confess. But that, so the pastor got up and he said, J.R. Johnson, come forward. And I looked up and I looked back. Ain't nobody behind. I'm in the back. So why I look back? Like me? And you know, the whole church goes, you know, looks back at me. I'm like, great. So he said, come forward. God has something for you. So I came forward, walked down the aisle. It was like the longest walk ever. You know, even you've been depressed for 4 years, and then you're all of a sudden in God's presence, and you're amongst people that you haven't seen in 4 years. It's tough, man. But that's where faith comes in. I had faith that God did have something for me. I could have said no. I could have turned around and walked out. But I made the choice, just like the choices that these young kids make to give their lives or people make to give their lives to Christ. It's just a choice. It's a decision you make to say, yes, Lord, I surrender. So I came forward and walking in God's presence, my knees began to buckle. I just felt it. The closer I got to the altar, I just felt my knees give out because his presence was so strong. I got to the altar, and I just fell to my knees and began to weep. Pastor, I began to weep like I've never wept in my life. Everything that was in me came out. And that was just in the presence. Pastor didn't lay hands on me. He didn't pray over me. It was just the presence of God. Strong and mighty. Got fell to my knees. Wept. Everything just pouring out. Pastor came down, laid his hands on me. Then the whole church body just came out of their seats and just surrounded me at the altar and began to pray. And at that time, I rededicated my life to Jesus Christ. Depression left, suicidal thoughts left, fear left, everything left. And I stood up and Pastor looked in my eyes and he said, that night was not your final race. The race of life for you through Christ begins now. And God has things for you that you never even dreamed of. I never even dreamed that I would be a part of an organization, of a ministry, that I could use breaking stuff to bring a life to say yes to Jesus. What a ministry. I never dreamed that I would be able to use what the devil meant for harm, my testimony, to go into schools, to go into churches all over America to bring souls to Christ. See, what Satan means for harm, God takes that and makes it for your good. Not to honor me, not to glorify me, not to praise me, but to praise the God that works through me. See, when we go around the country, we get praised by men. We get praised. They think it's us. They think it's Jared and JJ and myself or John or Val or the guys on the team because those strong guys are breaking stuff. It's cool. Oh, my gosh. These guys are great. But we don't accept none of the glory because it's God's anointing working through us. You see, we're all strong. We're all strong men. Yes, we are. We have a gift to be strong. That's great. But true strength comes from above. That's God putting his super on your natural to make you supernatural to make all things possible. See, every night before we go out on stage to do what we do for God, I always pray I call it the Samson anointing. I do. Because Samson was a beast. Samson. That dude tore up a castle. I mean, he couldn't even see. I mean, he was blind. His eyes was out. He was chained up, and he pushed. Now, that's some concrete. And killed everybody. But Samson didn't do that. It was God's super on his natural that made that supernatural. So the stuff that we do on stage, it looks, it's crazy. It's very hard, difficult stuff. So we have to have an anointing to do what we do, because sometimes our body gives out. Sometimes we get to a position to where, you know what, we might fail this attempt. This might not happen tonight. But God, your super on our natural makes all things possible. And I know I went into my testimony a little bit tonight, and I mean this morning, and the thing about it is, as I got into this ministry, I had a lot of fear, because I never imagined I would do stuff like this, you know. But you know, there's times where we do get like cuts and scrapes and we bleed, and you might see that this week. I'm believing God that we won't, in Jesus' name, but that happens. I have cuts on my body, scars from a couple of years past as I joined the team from doing feats. I mean, the battle break and just slices in the stomach or the forearm, bricks. I mean, we get cuts on our elbows and stuff like that. And we go back to the hotel room and like, you know, Neil Sporn's our best friend, something like that. I carry like 3-2s, man. You know, ice too. But I remember one night, me and Jerry were in the room. We did a crusade. I think we were in DeSoto, Texas. And I came back to my room. It was the third night. We do it 4 nights in a row, okay? It was the third night. My body was just beaten. I was banged up. I was like, dude, I need a break. I need something. Can I get a massage or something, you know? But it was rough. My body was just out. I was gone. Cuts, looking at my cuts, bleeding, you know. And Jerry was like, yeah, man, you know, it is tough. This is a big crusade. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this is what he said. He said, do you know that your King of Kings went through so much more? As he sacrificed his body and was beaten, bruised, mocked, just mangled, sacrificed himself for you. For you. So what you have on your body is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ had on his when he died, when he was nailed to that cross. The Bible says when he was nailed on the cross, you really couldn't even tell he was in human form. That's how badly beaten he was. Passion of Christ did pretty good, but it still didn't have nothing on what he really looked like hanging there on that cross. For me, and I'm in a hotel room whining about some cuts on my arm and my stomach, complaining about my body being tired. But Jesus Christ did what he did for me, what he did for you. Sacrificing my body, sacrificing myself for a life. Then after that, I gained so much strength, I said, oh, I'm back now. That's right. That's right. Jesus, Lord, thank you. That's right. He said, look at it like that. I'm not saying you got to hang on the cross and all that kind of stuff. I'm saying you're just sacrificing your body for life to come to me so they can have eternal life. There is no life on this earth without Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be straightforward and talk to you for real, because I'm not ashamed. There is no life on this earth without Jesus Christ. If you do not have Jesus Christ in your life, being the head of your life, running the race for your life, then you're walking dead. Because if you take your last breath and you do not know him, there is a hell and there is a heaven. There is a God, there is a devil. If you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you take your last breath, you will be in a place you do not want to go. You see, I ran races for a prize, to obtain a prize, a crown. My dream was to win a gold medal in the Olympic Games. But I bet most of you in here could even tell me who won the 400 meters in 2004 in Athens, Greece. Who won the gold medal? Anybody know? Who won in 08? Who won in 2012? No idea. Because let me tell you, that prize lasts for a moment. I was running for a prize that lasts for a moment, a gold medal, but was losing the ultimate prize to be in heaven and have an eternal prize and run on the streets of gold. That gold is eternal. That gold lasts forever. That's the gold I'm reaching for, because that's life, eternal life. That's what it's about. And we go into these schools, most of them, we can't say the word God, we can't say Jesus, we can't do that because one lady ripped prayer out of schools a long time ago. But we've been called for a purpose to go into these schools, and our calling is to bring God and Jesus back into the public schools, because ever since he left, ever since God was taken out of the schools went crazy. All this stuff started happening in these schools you wouldn't even imagine. Kids, the public schools of America are facing things. I mean, teachers getting shot, schools shooting. It's just so much going on now since God left. But we're doing the work for him to put God back in. That's why we do what we do. 1,400 schools last year alone. We go into the schools. We show them a little bit what we can do. We motivate them, we encourage them, we speak into their lives. Then we give them to the night show. We give them flyers. They go out. They get to go home and tell their parents, the family, to bring them out. So we set them up. That's the truth. We set them up. Yeah, come see us tonight. We're going to be breaking bricks and blowing up stuff. You're going to see Big JJ lift the telephone pole over his head and all this. We'll be there. Bring the parents out, bring the siblings out, and then boom, hit him with that Jesus. Oh, he didn't know. He didn't know. We got you. Got you. You know? But guess what? It works. Why? Because the nights are packed out with families. So we do it. They come and see and do what we do. We minister the gospel into their lives. They come forward. Moms, dads bring the whole family up. And then leave brand new and take Jesus home with them. Take God home with them. And a family is renewed and changed forever. Isn't that awesome? That's the purpose behind this ministry. That's the purpose behind what we do for God's kingdom. That's the purpose of Power for Life. And that's why we are here in Arcadia, Florida, to do just that. To go into these schools to turn this city upside down for God. Upside down. I like that. That's cool. We're here to do that. We have a guy on the team, J.J. Barker. He's here. OU linebacker. I mean, he's won so many strongman competitions. That dude's a monster. You know, Jared. I don't know if some of y'all know Jared from last time. He's Arizona State fullback, you know, two-time Golden Glove boxing champion, two-time Dallas Fort Worth powerlifting champion. This guy's been on the ministry for 19 years. So can you imagine how many souls this man has brought to the kingdom of God? Over 19 years. He was with the original power team with John Jacobs. And I'm honored to be with him on the road, because he's taught me so much about it. He's here. And I'm telling you, it is going to be exciting. It's going to be so exciting because you get to see so many lives transformed for God. for God. Amen? Amen. Before I close, I just want to ask everybody here a question. How many of you have a dream? Put your hand up. Most of you in here. You're like, why is he asking me if I have a dream? I'm like, that's corny. I mean, look, doesn't matter what age you are, everybody still has a dream, but something you still would like to see yourself accomplish. I had a dream to be an Olympian. I didn't fulfill that dream. Why? Because I didn't focus on God's dream first. If you focus on God's dream for your life, then your dream will happen. But see, God always has, he has a plan for each and everybody in this room. Everybody in this room has specific gift, talent, or anointing that God has placed in your life. It's not meant for the world. It's meant to honor his kingdom. If you don't use it to honor his kingdom, then 9 times out of 10, it will not prosper. But when you put your dream under his dream for your life, then he'll take you places you never imagined. That's why I asked you, everybody, if you had a dream. Are you so focused on your dream that you're putting God in the back and try to run your race to see your dream fulfilled while God's dream is just sitting somewhere back here? He's like, look, I have a dream for you that you can't even imagine. If you just turn it over to me, let me take it, let me tell you, you'll see more abundance, more prosperity than you ever imagined. So it's about God's dream being the head, and let your dream follow his dream for your life. And that's just putting him first in everything. In everything, and watch God take control. Like he took control of my life. Because if it wasn't for me making that decision that day at church, I may not be standing here today. That's how serious it is. That's how serious it was. And if I had taken my last breath before that morning happened, might not have made it to heaven. That's God's love. He loved me so much. He loved me so much that he gave. He gave himself for me. So as we're here this week, we are going to pour everything out of us, everything that we can, mind, body, and soul, and use that Samson anointing to bring so many people to the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, Pastor, at this time, I'm going to have you come up with me. And we are going to take up a love offering for our ministry. And let me tell you about the love offering. I know people are like, okay, offering time, got to give. Look, the offering we take, because Jared's doing the same thing at the church he's at, JJ's doing the same thing. It's the reason why we take offering is to support the ministry so we can keep doing what we're doing, because we travel week to week. I may be home for a month at a time, 3 weeks, and I'm gone for three. Home for 2 weeks, gone for 4 weeks. You know, but the offering does is help us get into the public schools. That's what it's for. A school assembly, it's $1,000 for a school assembly. And more, we don't have it. So the body of Christ supports what we do so we can go out and do God's work. That's what it's about. And as I said earlier, God was taking out the public schools, and public schools need God's people into the schools. Who would have thought that a licensed ordained ministers as myself, Jared, and JJ can go into a school and do what we do? Because we're the number one school assembly in the nation. So a love offering that we take for the ministry is for that purpose. It's for your grandchildren. It's for your little nieces or nephews, all these kids, your family. It's for that. So we can go into the schools like we will be this week in Arcadia to do God's work to turn this city upside down. But we can't do it without love offerings. We can't. So we're gonna take up a love offering for our ministry so we can get into these public schools. And we have four schools this week. And I think Jared said we're believing God for, I think it's four schools, $4,000 to get into these schools. So that's what it's about. That's what it's for. And what did Pastor say about, Jared, the checks to...
Yeah, write your check to Calvary Baptist, and in the memo, just put Power Team. And when you put it in the collection box, we'll make sure that they get, we're just going to write them one check to the Power Team. So if you just want to give cash and just get an envelope in the back and put it in the collection box when you leave. But again, it's not specifically going to these guys. It's getting them in the public schools. And I've got a schedule for you so you can be praying where they're going to be this week. Monday at 8 a.m., they're going to be at Memorial Elementary, I believe. Tuesday at 8 a.m., they're going to be at West Elementary. At 1:15, they're going to be at Nocatee Elementary. Then at 2:15, they're going to be at the middle school right down the road. So if you can remember to be praying for these guys on Monday and Tuesday, that would be awesome. So will you commit to do that? All right. So if you want to give towards that ministry, please just make your check to Calvary in the memo, write Power Team, and we'll make sure that they get every dollar that you give. So.
And real quick, how many of you guys are going to come out tonight at 6? Anybody going to come out tonight, First Baptist Church? We want to see you guys out. And we're okay. we're also doing our show Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So come out. Support what we're doing. See what God is going to do through this week in Arcadia. It's going to be phenomenal. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I just wanted to share a quick scripture that God just kept giving me while JR was speaking. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Just going to read 19 through 26. And you've already got the sermon, so don't think I'm starting. So just going to share this scripture. So. It says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being under the law myself, that I might win those under the law. To those outside of the law I became as one outside of the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." So I see the Power Team. If Paul could say, I'd break bricks and break bats and bend steel, I'll do it to win some for Christ. So one more scripture that I want to share that really, I think, points to JR's own story. "Do you not know that in the race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one." JR is now running to receive that imperishable prize, doing God's work, running for God's glory, not his own. It says, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Power Team's doing a good work. Your mission team is supporting them. Hopefully you'll come out tonight, Monday, Tuesday. We're asking that everybody that would normally come here on Wednesday night would come support the ministry. Again, if you can be a counselor, please go at 4 or see me. They really need help at 1:30, so any big, strong guys, or not big, strong guys, who can help, please go at 1:30. And just another personal thing that kind of struck me this week when we were talking about this and talking about the ministry. Your very own youth pastor, you don't mind me sharing this, Marcus Pauley, came to know the Lord at one of these events. So, hey, look what God works. So I think there's more. Yeah, amen. So. You were in fourth grade, right? Fourth grade. So how many fourth graders in Arcadia can be future youth pastors? Getting them excited in the school, right? Getting them to the crusade. Won't you pray? Please be praying for these guys. Pray for them while they're in the school. Pray that their parents would be open to coming and pray that many would be won to Christ. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, we are so grateful just to be a part of this crusade. God, thank you for JR. Thank you for the testimony of how you've worked in his life. Thank you for bringing him here this morning. We know that you brought the right person at the right place at the right time. And maybe there's somebody in this building who needed to hear his testimony. Maybe somebody's been chasing the wrong dream. Maybe somebody's discouraged. Maybe somebody's depressed and they're just thinking life's not worth it. Maybe they heard a promise of hope this morning that we need to be chasing God's dream, not ours. So Lord, I just pray that you move through this Power Team Crusade. Let many in this community come to know you. May this community truly be forever changed because these guys came in. And although they do all the dramatic stuff, the breaking, the tearing, the shredding, they do it to win souls to Christ. So Lord, I do pray for them as they go into our schools. We do know that our schools so desperately need more light. So Lord, just be with them, fill them with your spirit, give them the exact words they need to say to these kids, to the teachers. And Lord, I pray that it'll make an impact. And Lord, I pray that they'll have the funds they need also to continue this ministry. Lord, it's astounding to me that the number one school assembly in America is a Christian-based ministry. Lord, we know you're working. Thank you again for JR. Thank you for his testimony. Thank you for bringing him here today. And Lord, may we do what we can to continue to support this ministry. And Lord, may we just continue to live for you ourselves to accomplish your purposes in our life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.